Stephen next describes habit 5, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Learning how to communicate effectively and empathically is one of the master skills in family and organizational life, and is the key to building win-win relationships.
Now let's move on to habit 5. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. You see, the whole key in habit 5 is the sequence between these two expressions. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Most people literally do the very opposite. In fact, notice your own tendencies. Do you want to be understood before you seek to understand? The tendency of most all people is to listen with the intent to reply, not with the intent to understand. That's the most common tendency in us all. In most conversations, most interactions, the only desire is to be understood. Why? That's part of the need to be loved. We talked about to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy. Love truly makes the world go round. To feel understood is to feel loved, and people have a need to be loved. However, the whole key to human influence is first to be influenced. Now, what does that mean? The key to having influence on another person is that they feel that they have had influence with you. That is, that you were open to them, to what they were saying and feeling, and that you were consequently influenced by them. In other words, you understood them. The key to human influence with our spouses, with our children, with our work associates, in fact, with anyone, is always first to understand. That's the first point I'm trying to make here under Habit 5. This is so important because our tendencies run in an absolute opposite direction. Because everyone lives in their own world. It's a subjective world. It's a world that has its own meanings in it. Everyone has their own perceptions of what reality is. And people are walking around in these subjective worlds, and then they collide with each other. And when they have to interact with each other, they usually interact efficiently within their own world. But if they're trying to bring the worlds together to create a better world or to come up with a new agreement or a new arrangement, of necessity, both worlds come together. And unless we seek to understand the other person's world, we will not have influence with that other person, nor they with us. Let me use a couple of physical illustrations to illustrate. Could you possibly prescribe glasses for eyes you haven't diagnosed? No, if you're wearing glasses, it's because the optometrist first sought to understand and then build the prescription on that understanding. Another illustration. If you were to take the air out of the room you're in or the car you're in right now, what would happen to your interest in listening to this audio teaching program? All of a sudden, you have this great sucking sound and there's no air. What would you do? It wouldn't make any difference how interesting or how fascinating this program happened to be to you. You would want air. You'd do whatever you could do to get air. But now you get it. Now that you have air, does air motivate you? No. Your interest shifts to learning. Why? A satisfied need no longer motivates. You know what the equivalent is emotionally to air? It's to feel understood. They are then open to understand you. They're open to be influenced. But until they feel understood, nothing else you do will work with them. Because inside they'll always say, he or she does not understand. When you understand another, you've accepted them. That doesn't mean you agree with them, but that you accept they are people of worth, people worth listening to. You value them, or you wouldn't have spent such time understanding them. You also accept that they see their world differently. You accept that they live in their own world and that it has legitimacy. They occupy space. They are part of the human race. See, essentially, that's air. The most basic elemental foundation of it is that you matter to me. I accept you. Why? I understand you. Why would I want to understand you if you didn't matter, if you didn't have legitimacy? You see, to love another person is to affirm them emotionally, physically, to shake their hand, to empathize with them in some way. They need to be fed this air, this human touch, this warmth, this deep communication, and it can come in many, many ways. The problem is that most of us tend to get into a very efficient state of mind. We have our own schedule. We know the kinds of things we want to accomplish. We think it through in our mind. We're under a lot of pressure. There are all kinds of things on our platter, and it's tough. And that's the way modern life is. It's a rushing, fast-moving world. It's changing. It's chaotic. It's turbulent. Well, what do we do to handle that? You have to kind of figure it out. You have to try to be efficient and schedule yourself and then carry out your schedule. But see, the problem is that when you get into an efficient state of mind, you also try to be efficient in your listening as well. And you don't really take time to listen to understand, to listen empathically, meaning to listen within the other's frame of reference. Shakespeare showed this awareness in his Henry IV, where he said, "It is the disease of not listening that I am troubled withal." In our own day of super sophisticated, instantaneous global communication, email, the internet, far too often we suffer from this disease of not listening, particularly when we listen from within their world, their frame of reference. Carl Rogers made this brilliant observation. He said, "To be with another in this way means that for the time being, you lay aside your own views and values in order to enter another's world without prejudice. In some sense, it means that you lay aside yourself. This can only be done by persons who are secure enough in themselves that they know they will not get lost in the world of the other." Unquote. Now look, if I'm into efficiency, how can I want to really open up to your world? Your world's so different than my world, and I don't know what your world is going to show me. I don't know how open it is. I don't know how many dimensions, how many variables it has. I can't enter your world. I lose my efficiency altogether, and that disturbs and imbalances almost everything else in my life. Thus, I don't want to really be empathic. That's too much risk. I get too involved. I've got too many things going. I must be efficient. So I've learned to adopt certain techniques. I pretend to listen, but I'm still basically preparing my response. Why? Because I am efficient, and I don't want to lose control. I give the impression that I'm listening. I look at you in the eye. I turn my head a little. I smile. I nod. I do other things to lead you to believe I'm listening. But I'm not really. Why? I can't risk it. I'm too vulnerable. Not just emotionally vulnerable because I'm unaware of what might happen and that I might have to change, but I'm also vulnerable in terms of my whole life. I'm not efficient any longer. I'm out of control. I cannot accomplish as much.
I think the problem that I have with habit 5 is probably the same problem all of us do. We are the sum of our experiences. We filter everything that comes in through that cumulative knowledge, that all of those experiences that we've had, prior dealings, and we typically end up with a lot of preconceived notions about, you know, what's being said or why it's being said, but we evaluate that from our context, from our frame of reference. So in seeking to understand, consciously I know that I have to separate myself as much as possible from my frame of reference so I can get in their shoes, I can see where they're coming from. The only way I've found to deal with it is just to constantly remind myself the perception is reality, and these people, even if it's not my reality, it's theirs.
My mentor, really, for Habit 5 has been my husband. He is amazing at just listening and understanding, and before he even says a word or makes a suggestion, it's all about understanding where I'm coming from. And that is a skill I'm really trying to learn from him. It's very valuable.
I consider myself a really good listener, and I tend to like focus on what's really going on around me at work a lot because I don't want to miss anything, and I want kind of like cohesiveness in the group. But then when I get home, I want those same things, but it's like I'm just mentally drained from doing it at work a lot of times. And so I'm like, I do that type of listening where you go, you know, shake your head like, oh, yeah, yeah. I stick a video in for the kids. And my husband, we work different shifts, so it's really hard because, you know, when I'm ready to talk, then he's tired. And he comes home at midnight, so it's like to wake me up and get some conversation. And in the morning, I'm rushing, so I know that's a skill I really need to work on is listening to him more.
I know for myself, if I were to fault me at the highest point on these habits, it would be on trying to be efficient with people. When you're dealing with another person and they're living out of their own world and they want you involved in their world, it just slows down your world. In other words, we really have to get into a whole different frame of mind and attach ourselves to the higher values of what's really important and to ask, is this little time thing, this efficiency need, that important? Really, did anyone on their deathbed ever wish they'd spent more time at the office? I'll tell you what they talk about. They talk about what's important, and that's relationships. With people, you can't be efficient. Remember again, fast is slow with people, and slow is fast. So to seek first to understand, then to be understood, requires emotional strength. It requires patience, openness, and a desire to understand, all highly developed qualities of character. It also takes a lot of time. It really does. It's not just a quality of time, it's quantity. And the one cannot compensate for the other. But in the long run, it saves so much time. My guess is for every hour spent in correct understanding, it saves 10 to 50 to 100 hours in dealing with the problems that came from not understanding. Oh, if people only knew how much time they would save later on and what a beautiful relationship they're losing out on by not taking the time initially to truly seek to understand another. Because in some ways it's very, very hard to catch up later. But it can still be done, and I would not become discouraged.